Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
That is exactly what I needed to hear.
Thank God someone here knows what they're talking about.
That's us. That's right. Gotta love this American ride.
All right, you need to take the time and get the full picture.
Come on, come on. Turn the radio on. It's Saturday and I won't be long.
Don't get me wrong. I love the ladies. I mean, they rev my engine. But they don't belong in the newsroom. It is Anchor Man, not Anchor Lady.
This is the Annie Fry Show.
Indeed, it is the Annie Fry Show. It's John Hancock sitting in for Annie Fry on 97.1 FM Talk, and I'm really nervous now, Katie.
Uh-oh.
Apparently, Annie Fry is listening to the show. She's having that photo shoot with baby Molly and hoping that all goes well. You know, my kids, when they were of that age, they both looked like Winston Churchill without the cigar. And so I remember those days very fondly, and blessings to Annie and Molly. And I hope that photo shoot goes well with the listener. That was very cool. What a cool story.
Very, very cool.
And folks, I guess we got this Facebook thing going on over here. That's new to me. And
do
we have the YouTube too?
Yes, we have
the YouTube and we got the Facebook.
Well, we got the internet going on over here.
And the other thing we got going on, we take you live now to Busch Stadium in St. Louis, where none other than Ryan Wiggins is having an experience of a lifetime on the field, swinging the bat, swinging for the fences. Ryan Wiggins, what's going on over there, buddy?
You guys, it's a little unreal, but really it feels like the most natural thing in the world. It feels like, why haven't I been here my whole life doing this exact thing, because I've done so well.
Really? Well, tell us.
Yeah.
So
hey, Scott Terry's walking by. Scott Terry wants to say hi to St. Louis.
Hey.
Hello.
Scott Terry, how are you, brother?
John Hancock says hello, Scott Terry. And Scott is nodding and so excited to be talking to none other than John Hancock. He can't believe it.
Oh, yeah. People come from inches around just to talk to me. So what's happening?
Do you have any big league questions while I got Scott here?
Well, sure. Let's talk to Scott for a minute. I'd love to.
Okay. Come up with your best question on the fly, since you didn't know this was happening.
No, I'm good.
And he'll come up with his best answer on the fly, since he didn't know this was happening. He just happened to be walking by, and I grabbed him.
All right, perfect.
Okay.
Hey, Scott.
Okay. Here you go. Here you go.
Yes, sir.
Hey, Scott. How are you, brother? I have met you at the FCA banquet in the past, and it's good. Delighted to have you here on 97.1 FM Talk. Talk about how bullpen's usage has changed since your time in the big league. You used to have closers that would go two innings, and you don't see that so much anymore. And now this new three-batter rule, which I think is a dog, but bullpen usage has changed dramatically.
Big time. Actually, the whole pitching staff has changed other than the starters. So you're talking about spot starters, long men. They carry 13 pitchers now. We only carried 9 or 10. So we had 5 starters. We only had 4 or 5 guys in the bullpen, so it was nothing if you pitched 2 or 3 days in a row, and it was also something if you pitched 2 or 3 innings. So the idea of the 3-batter rule is so that they can't make as many pitching changes, when the reality is is they could change the aspect of the game just simply by only allowing them to carry 10 pitchers on their roster. If they did that, then they would have to – guys would have to go two or three innings. Guys would have to pitch two or three days in a row. But this is specialization. We know how technology has changed so many things in life, and it has changed baseball. And with all the things that they have, they now have everybody doing special things. So it's a level of specialization, whereas I know my last year before I retired, I pitched in 18 out of 23 games, and to think that would ever happen that these days would never happen.
No, that would never happen. I loved watching you come in, man. You're a bulldog when you'd come into those games, and you'd just mow them down. You threw strikes. You don't see as much of the strike throwing, and guys try to be too fine. What's your take on the foreign substance debate going on in baseball right now? This isn't something that's new that was just discovered, but baseball's cracking down on it.
Well, you know what's new, John, is the fact that they now have the technology to see what changes when you're using something of a substance. So back then, we didn't have spin ratios. We didn't have those ideas and the technology of knowing how that changes. So now all of a sudden, here's a guy throwing 90, 91, and then all of a sudden he jumps up to 94 or 95 because now he gets a better grip on the ball. He's hanging onto the ball a little bit longer. He's coming off the laces. It's almost like pulling down on a handle instead of pulling down on something that's a slick object. So it's a definite advantage to the pitcher, and obviously anytime somebody gains an advantage by using something that is not legal, then the league needs to address it.
What do you think the spin rate was on a Gaylord Perry curveball back in the day?
Or how about a Gaylord Perry spitball?
Yeah, right.
You know, which actually took the spin away. That's why he uses the lubrication. He didn't want it to spin as much. So, obviously, when hitters are seeing balls do things that they don't normally do, and when managers are seeing guys with extra velocity, then it kind of gives you an idea that something different is going on, and so now they're going to try to get a hold of it.
So what are you doing with yourself these days? I know you do the fantasy camp. I know you do a lot of teaching.
We do fantasy camps. We do kids clinics. We have 12 of those in the area. I think we've already done four or five. Today we're out here at the stadium doing a corporate event. KMOX is one of our sponsors for the season, so they get 2 hours on the field. So we come out, and we've got Brian Jordan here. We've got Kyle McClellan, and we're throwing them batting practice, so they're pretending to be big leaguers.
And Ryan Wiggins.
Well, you tell McClellan I said hello. And
I will. As a matter of fact, I got to go out and throw for him because he just got finished. So I'm going to let you have your guy back.
All right, great talking to you, Scott.
Okay.
You never thought you would.
How cool was that? That was very cool.
That was great.
You just got a free interview.
Yeah, that was well done, Wiggins. Let me make sure that bonus is in the paycheck this month. So now,
yeah, I hope our boss is listening.
He never listens when I'm on. So here's the thing. Now, have you batted yet?
Yeah, I did.
And
okay, here's what happened. It took me a couple pitches to get warmed up, but then once I did, I would say I popped one really hard. I got it all the way out of the infield, which was a huge deal. And I watched it. You know, it was kind of a looping little probably bloop single, I would call it.
Did you flip the bat?
Apparently, now Kyle McClellan is not a fan of when you watch your ball. And so when and he told us that ahead of time, he said, if I catch you watching, you're going to get one on the chin. And I did. He threw two at me after I watched that ball, and then one of them went right in front of me and he scared me. And then the next one, he threw it like really, really hard at me and I was able to avoid it. But after that, I was a little concerned. I lost my competitive edge knowing that Kyle McClellan was all of a sudden able to throw it much harder and at me.
You might want to revisit that homeowner's insurance policy you've got there. I think it would cover something like this.
Hey, if you got a sponsor you need to plug, go ahead. That was a great segue.
Are they scrimmaging or is it just kind of like a batting practice kind of experience?
Yeah, so I guess because it rained last night, we're just doing batting practice, and we're in the outfield, but we can't do like a full game. The ground crew is like really, really particular about everything, and they watch you and they yell at you.
So how's your defense out there?
My squad is now in the outfield, and they're looking at me like, what are you gonna just walk around on the phone? like you're not participating.
Well, you need to explain. You need to explain to people who you are, buddy. Mm-hmm. You're important.
Oh, I have been. I have been all day. And they keep saying, you know who you look like, because like the staff here and everybody, they keep thinking. Apparently, I look a lot like Paul DeYoung.
Oh.
And they keep saying Mr. DeYoung, and I keep saying, well, do I look like Paul DeYoung? I'm assuming from the neck down is what they're talking about.
Well, you ought to start signing autographs, man. You could probably.
I've signed a couple babies. I walked into the locker room and they just, you know, they step aside when you're Paul DeYoung, and I opened his locker. There's no big deal. Yes, you know, perks of the lookalike thing and being here. And I found almost no HGH in that locker, but I did find an interesting like a fireman calendar in there, and I was surprised to see that.
Huh? Have you been back to the weight room? Have you pumping some iron there?
No. And I hope Paul DeYoung is not listening. Yeah. I'm getting in trouble.
Well, if he's like the boss, he's not listening.
So, he's not listening because John Hancock's filling in.
So I'm down in spring training in 2019, and we were doing some radio down there during spring training. And so the little key, this was 2019, the keypad to get in the room where the broadcast booth was 2019. Yeah, very secure.
Oh.
And so anyway, I've got a terrible sense of direction. So the second day I show up, and I come to what I thought was the door to the studio, and I punch in 2019, click, the door opens up, and I walk into the weight room. And all these players,
wow.
Cardinal players, are all pumping iron. I look at who the heck is that guy? So be careful where you walk there. And the passcode is probably going to be 2021.
Well, I'll try it. I've been walking around. Like you said, I've been walking around telling people who I am, and they don't seem to care. And when I say, I'm Ryan Wiggins from 97.1, they say, okay. And I say, yeah, we're next door to KMOX. Like, okay. No, actually, I think there's quite a few fans out here because I am the only broadcaster that's out here today. And when they said, you know, Ryan's going to be talking on the air here at about 2 o'clock, everybody was like, oh, you know, and some people were talking to me about 97.1. It's funny. I mean, I'm not trying to do a promo here, but since we're talking about it, it's funny how, like, we have a promo running right now that talks about 97.1 being the worst kept secret in St. Louis. And it kind of is, because like when you're out here talking to people, everybody says it's like they don't want to say it publicly, but they'll walk, oh, you're on 97.1. I listen to that all the time, you know. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of fun. Mm-hmm.
Well, enjoy yourself out there. What a great day this is. Has the defibrillator been employed yet this afternoon?
Not yet, but man, I'll tell you what, I'm already feeling it just from, you know, taking swings. You get tired fast, and I'm about to go run out in the outfield, so that'll be a different set of muscles. But it's a lot of fun. So I'm glad I got to do it. It's kind of a once in a lifetime thing, and you know, it just reminds you how fun baseball is.
Well, buddy, looking at you this morning, let me tell you to be careful and keep lots of hydrated water going on, and don't tax the muscles too much. We don't want you coming back tomorrow with an injury.
Well, I'll just sit down and you guys can, you know, feed me through a straw tomorrow.
The baseball star, Ryan Wiggins, he calls us live from Busch Stadium. He's got an RBI single on the day. He's headed out to the outfield. St. Louis Cardinal baseball right here on 97.1 FM Talk. Hey, when we come back, Rick Stream, the co-director of the St. Louis County Board of Elections. We're going to talk about ballot security, a very timely topic, and that's next on The Annie Fry Show.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with 3 friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor. Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
Oh, that's good stuff. Hey, it's John Hancock in for Annie Fry on the Annie Fry Show, 97.1 FM Talk, and so much talk about elections and ballot integrity and election reform legislation across the country and in Washington, D.C., and I thought, let's get an expert on to talk about it. And do we just happen to have such an expert? My old friend Rick Stream, he is the Republican Director of Elections in St. Louis County. He has a counterpart who is a Democrat Director of Elections. Rick, how are you, brother?
I'm doing fine, John. Thanks for having me on.
Delighted to have you on. So there's debate in Washington right now about this election reform bill that the Democrats have put forward. Republicans don't like it because it nationalizes elections. What does that mean?
Well, basically, the way the system works in America today is that every state runs their own elections. They pass their own laws to run the elections in their particular state. And we do that in Missouri. We have Section 115 of the revised Missouri statutes, which is the Bible for us who run elections here in Missouri. And it lays out all the rules and regulations for just how to do that, how to run elections, from everything from the election dates to absentee balloting to how the polling places should run, the types of things like that. So every state does that separately. It's the federal system, not federalized, but federal system, so that every state runs their own elections. And I think that's the best way to go. Even my Democrat counterpart, Eric Fay, says that those two bills up in Washington are really bad. He would never go along with those bills. So I think we have a good system in Missouri. I think people were very happy with certainly the results of how things ran in St. Louis County last year with four countywide elections in the middle of a pandemic. And we had virtually no complaints, but a lot of work, and it was difficult. But we have a great team here at the Election Board, and that made it very evident that we were able to run the elections without a hitch.
You know, there's been a lot of concern expressed over mail-in voting, and Missouri expanded because of COVID. They expanded the ability to vote absentee in 2020, and you all had record numbers of mail-in ballots. How did that process work, and how do you verify from a ballot in the mail that it's actually the ballot that belongs to that voter?
Sure, that's very good questions. We did have about five times as many people vote absentee by mail in the last three elections of last year, the April, which was moved to June, and the August, and then November. So we had a lot of paper ballots that were coming in. The people had to request an absentee ballot or a mail-in ballot, which was the additional thing that the legislature passed. Again, the legislatures are responsible for changing election law in the states. And in Missouri, our legislature made a couple of slight changes, added the COVID block, and had the mail-in ballot. But in every case, it has to be requested by the voter. A voter has to request an absentee ballot either in person, in writing, or by email or fax. That's just to get the application, okay? Then the application comes in. We check the names to make sure they're in the voter registration system. We check the signatures. And if it all matches, then they are sent a ballot. And the ballot goes to is mailed to the voter. The voter has to fill out the ballot and put it in the envelope. And the envelope is the key then. The envelope that the ballot comes back in is the key. It has to have their signature on it. It has to have the reason why they're voting absentee or mail-in. And it has to have the date on there, too. So if it doesn't have any of those things, it doesn't count when it gets back here. It has to be back by 7 p.m. on election night. The signature, we check the signatures when they come in. And everything is done in our office on a bipartisan nature. We have a Democrat and a Republican sitting side by side for every step of the election process. And they check the signatures and things like that. When the ballots come in, they go into our ballot room, which is one of the three areas in our office where you have to have a Republican and a Democrat go into the room at the same time, not one at a time. We go into our ballot room. They're stored until 5 days before the election. And then we have bipartisan teams open the envelopes, pull out the ballots. They're in groups of 100. And then in that 5-day period, then the ballots are scanned into our scanner, which actually tabulates the results, but the results are not known by anybody until 7 p.m. on election night, and then we begin to do the tabulation. And so that's why we were able to, at 7:30 on election night, report out 160,000 absentee ballot votes on election night, November.
Yeah, you
so
know,
it's a very secure process. John.
It is a very secure process, and I think most jurisdictions across the country have a process similar to that. Right. One of the problems we had in Pennsylvania was that the legislature there passed a bill that none of those envelopes could even be opened until the polls were closed. Therefore, they didn't have that kind of pre-process that you had in St. Louis County where you could report out the results at 7:30 in the evening. And in Pennsylvania, those results took days to get there.
Right.
And that's a real problem in the process.
Yeah, again, every state does it differently. And in Missouri, they do have a provision in there that the ballots, but it's really the envelopes, can be prepared 5 days prior to it. In most counties in Missouri, which are run by election county clerks, which and one of their duties is elections, they don't really open theirs more than a day or so in advance. We have so many absentee ballots, even in a normal election like right now, we're going to probably have about 20,000 absentee ballots for this August election, that we do need the extra time to open the ballots, the envelopes, and prepare the ballots. So, but yeah, you're right. In Pennsylvania and other states, for some reason, they wanted to wait. I think that's foolish. As long as you have a very secure process in place, and again, in our case, in Missouri's case, it's a bipartisan team of people that oversees the entire process. So we feel like, as I mentioned, the ballot room is a bipartisan team has to get in there, the tabulation room, and where all of our equipment is stored in our warehouse, which is it has a chain link fence from the floor to the ceiling. You can't get in unless you have a Republican and a Democrat, and just certain Republicans and Democrats, the leadership, basically, they can get in at the same time. So it's a very secure process here in St. Louis County. We welcome anybody to come up and take a tour through our facility. They can see how secure it is.
Rick Stream is our guest. He's the co-director of elections in St. Louis County. He joins us on 97.1 on the Annie Fry Show. There was so much controversy coming out of the last, well, elections are a balance between access to the ballot for everybody that's eligible and securing the integrity of the system. And so all of the laws and regulations that exist are designed to balance that to make it easier to vote and harder to cheat. When you look at what's been proposed in Congress, does it strike that balance?
Well, personally, I don't think it does. I think it makes it way too easy for security not to be one of the major factors there. There's so many provisions of that bill that are those two bills, H.R. 1 and S. 1, that are really contrary to how we operate in Missouri. They're talking about eliminating. They're talking about mailing ballots to people, ballot harvesting, just things that are just contrary to how we do things in Missouri. For instance, we had a record turnout in November here in St. Louis County, 79.5%. But, John, there were still 200,000 people in St. Louis County that did not vote in the presidential election. Imagine if we had sent every one of those people a ballot. I mean, I just don't think that's right. If people want to vote, we make it very easy for people to vote in St. Louis County. As you probably know, we've got a system in place now in St. Louis County where you can vote anywhere in the county, at any polling place. So there's really no excuse why people can't vote on Election Day, or in obviously cases where they can vote absentee by, you know, legally. So it's easy to vote here in St. Louis County. We register people on a daily basis. There's probably close to 1,000 changes in registrations every week in St. Louis County, even now when there's not a major election going on because people change their address, people are moving in and moving out of the St. Louis County area. We process all that here in the office, and we answer questions so that people and we mail everybody a notice of election card who's a registered voter in St. Louis County before the election. So and give them not only their polling place that they can go to, but the five closest polling places. So I think we make it very easy to register and to vote in St. Louis County, but we still have all of the procedures in place to verify that that's who that person is who cast the ballot. You have to be registered in our system. If you show up and you're not registered, you're not going to vote, period. If you register but you don't have an identification, you're going to vote, but it's going to be provisionally, which means your ballot is separate from the ones that are put in the box at the polling place on election night. We check out your information, and about half of our provisional voters do not qualify to have their ballots cast.
Yeah, so you guys have made it this thing where you can go to any polling place now. Just speaking from personal experience, has been a godsend, and it's so much flexibility built in there. That's a great example of making it easier to vote and harder to cheat, and that's exactly the kind of policy that needs to drive this thing. You mentioned something earlier before we let you go. Rick Stream is our guest. He's the co-director of elections in St. Louis County. You mentioned a term that our listeners may or may not be familiar with. It's ballot harvesting. That is something that is patently illegal in the state of Missouri. The Democrat bill in Washington would make it allowable nationwide. What is ballot harvesting, and why is it a concern?
That's a good question. First of all, it requires that everybody be mailed a ballot, all right, which we don't do in Missouri at all, okay? But according to the federal law, we would be required to, although I'm sure our state would file suit against it. But it's in states where everybody is mailed a ballot, like California. Ballots are mailed out, and there is a time period after Election Day where people can go and collect those ballots and bring them into the election board office. Well, see that, and therefore you don't know who filled out the ballot. You don't know if there's any signature verification. You don't know anything about that ballot. And I just think that's a recipe for fraud. I just don't think it's right that ballots could just be turned in after Election Day. In Missouri, you have to have the ballot in our hands by 7 p.m. on election night, except for military and overseas, which are allowed to come in by Friday of election week. But we have to have the ballots, and we've had ballots come in at 7:05 by UPS or somewhere, and they don't count. They don't count. Now, we make every effort to make sure that the ballots that were mailed by people that are in the post office get to us. We have people downtown, a bipartisan team downtown, and one in St. Ann post office. And if the ballots are there at 7 p.m., we bring them in and we count them. But if they're not there and they come in the next day, they do not count. So ballot harvesting, to me, and it's up to 2 weeks, I think, in California, where people can turn in ballots.
Crazy.
That's just ridiculous.
It is ridiculous. You know, I lied. I'm going to ask you one more question while we got you.
Okay.
So there's this controversy out there that foreign entities can hack into our elections and change the results.
Yeah.
Why is that not possible in places like St. Louis County?
Well, first of all, none of our equipment is online. None of it. We have standalone equipment at the polling places. Here in our office where we tabulate the votes on election night, that is not connected to the internet at all. That is a key factor right there that people don't realize. In Missouri, the only system that's online is our voter registration system. But the voting equipment in St. Louis County, and I'm pretty sure all over the state, none of our old equipment, you know, we bought new equipment in 2019. None of our old equipment was online. None of this equipment's online. I'm not a technology guy, but I know that, and here's the other thing, John, we check every piece of equipment that goes out on election day. For election day, we do a logic and accuracy test before it goes out, and we check it when it comes back to make sure it still prints out and we do a known test. It prints out the results that we want in this test. So we feel 100% sure that our equipment operates properly on election day, and our tabulation equipment is doing the right job, and the results are accurate. The other thing, John, we have paper ballots that we can count. We were required by state law to do a 5% audit on all of our precincts. So we do that, and we want it to match exactly what was reported in our thumb drives that came back from our machines. So none of that stuff can be altered. Our thumb drives are encrypted. They won't even fit in another machine. So we've taken a lot of precautions. And frankly, a lot of this equipment has to pass all of these very stringent security tests so that stuff like this can't happen. But I'm not saying something didn't happen because I just don't know. I do know this. In St. Louis County, I will bet my mortgage that our results are accurate every time. We had a couple of recounts here at the end of this past election in April. The people came in. We did the recounts right in front of them. They were very, very happy.
Well, I've been to that house of yours. If you're putting the mortgage on the line, that's saying something, partner.
Well, I am very, very confident that we do a very secure job of protecting the integrity of the vote in St. Louis County.
So appreciate your time and very informative, very educational. Folks, you can trust the integrity of the elections that are taking place in our town. And Rick Stream has been our guest. He's the co-director of the St. Louis County Board of Elections. Thanks so much for your time, Rick.
Thanks, John. Thanks for having me on.
All right. Well, as fun as this all is it the best job I've ever had? And got to know a little bit, I'm getting to know even better, the lovely and talented Katie Fitzpatrick. We got to chat a little bit before the show. What's the best job you've ever had? 241-9797. If you want to get in on the talk, it's the Annie Fry Show. I'm John Hancock. We'll be back after this.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
I settle down inside.
Now there's a guy that's been everywhere. Johnny Cash. You gotta love that. I'm a big music fan, and Katie has done a magnificent job picking out that bumper music today. Thank you, ma'am.
Oh no, thank you.
So we were talking before the show. Other than this, of course, which is the best job anyone's ever had. What's the best job you've ever had?
I had 16 all throughout college. I worked as in the dietary section of a hospital, St. Joe's Hospital in St. Charles.
I was dietary, yep.
I was handing out the trays and making sure and cutting up the food and making sure everything was good for the people that were staying at the hospital. And I love that job.
I'm about 4 years away from needing that myself.
You can hire me.
All right, come on. I'll do it.
And it was an amazing job. I met fantastic friends. They really made working easy and fun. And, you know, I've realized that maybe the job itself might be difficult or you might not like it, but it's the people that you surround yourself with as you are working that really make or break your environment and your mindset. And I just was so blessed.
Well, you know, that's people. A special, you've got to have a special gift to work in that kind of environment because people in the hospital are not having their best day.
Right.
And some of them are having their worst day and you're interacting with them. And I'm sure that if they're representative of the public at large, you're going to have some jerks out there.
Yes.
They're not going to like the Jell-O. Why are you giving me orange Jell-O?
Uh-huh.
I don't like orange Jell-O.
Mm-hmm. So, some of them don't even want you to go in the room.
Yeah.
They're like, just please leave the tray out on the doorstep. I don't want to see you. I don't want to have to interact with you. So it was a really, I mean, and 16, first job. It's you go in there and you're scared. You're terrified. You'd never worked before.
So were you thinking you might go into nursing or medical or?
I had a friend who hooked me up, actually. I get very queasy thinking about the human body.
Oh, yeah.
It's not my thing.
Oh.
And
blood. I can't take it.
I just everything. Yeah.
Right.
And I had a friend who worked there 2 years previous to me. And she kind of gave me a heads up and, you know, told me that the dietary office and space was looking for more people to trespass, and luckily enough, I got to do it, and I'm still best friends with a handful of the ladies that I got to experience that with to this day.
Yeah, handing the food out would be good. The bedpans, all of that stuff, not so much. Yeah, so when I was a kid, I was in the Boy Scouts, and you had to get the first aid merit badge, and so, you know, you learn how to do a tourniquet, and you learn how to do a splint in the field if you need that, and how to stop bleeding, and I don't like needles. I got vaccinated, but it wasn't, I didn't faint, but I'm not good.
But you're this close.
So I've got the first aid merit badge, Katie. I've also got the life-saving merit badge. And I'm home after school one day. I'm probably a junior in high school. I'm downstairs. I'm watching a ball game. And my mother, this blood-curdling scream from upstairs, she's preparing dinner, and she says, I've cut myself. I go up there. And sure enough, she's cut herself, and it's not good. Aww. And so I got the first aid merit badge. I got the life-saving merit badge. You know what I did?
I fainted.
I
fell over.
and then, but I recovered quickly, and I ran to the closet. I grabbed a Band-Aid, and I backed up towards her so that I didn't have to look at anything, and I handed her the Band-Aid, and that was my first aid skill at work right there.
You know what? At least you had the Band-Aid handy.
Oh, I knew where it was.
You got the Band-Aid.
I knew where the Band-Aid was.
It's very important.
I even opened the little package, which is not easy to do if you've ever, especially if you're bleeding. You got the Band-Aid thing there.
I didn't realize. I don't know much about Boy Scouts or Girl Scouts.
Yeah.
I did not realize that you got badges to learn something like that.
Oh,
that's
CPR
really heavy.
I learned in the Boy Scouts. I would have learned how to swim in the Boy Scouts, except I can't swim and I'm afraid of the water. But that's another story for another day. My best job ever, from the same age 16 through college, 7 summers, at Six Flags.
Very cool.
Playing the piano. And it was the best job ever. So they let me grow a beard because I convinced them it was part of the costume.
Mm-hmm.
I had my little vest on with the rhinestones, my little derby hat, and I would show up at the St. Louis train station and just sit down and play the piano 6 hours a day, 6 days a week.
Oh, gosh.
And then I would take breaks. In those days, they had all kinds of on-the-park entertainment. They had the barbershop quartet strolling around. They had Doodles the Clown, the 300-pound clown on a little tricycle. That guy was something.
Wow.
You talk about talent.
Yeah.
I mean, to drive that tricycle like that was unbelievable. And he was a phenomenal chess player, Doodles. So we would take our breaks, and head back up there and get the chessboard out. And he'd take his nose off and I'd take my head off and we'd duel at each other playing chess. But that was a great, 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 great job. The worst job I ever had. Also involved a clown.
Uh-oh.
So I had run for Secretary of State. This would have been 1992. And I lost. The voters and I have never gotten along so well. And so I needed a job. So there was a PR job available at an ad agency in town. And it was working the McDonald's account. So they hired me. And among the PR duties I had, I was the boss of Ronald McDonald.
What?
Yes, yes, yes. Now, Ronald made more money than I did. He had a 401k. And this, being Ronald McDonald's a good gig.
Okay.
All right?
Mm-hmm.
So, but I had to schedule Ronald, and I was his supervisor. And so we had him at the VP Fair Parade. I don't know, you remember the VP Fair parades? Yeah, it's before your time. The listeners out there may remember. And it was a big parade, 4th of July. So we got Ronald scheduled at the VP Fair Parade, and, it's all good. So I'm sitting at my desk, and this was before cell phones. So the call comes in, and I answer the phone. And when Ronald is in costume, he has to be Ronald. He can't be, himself.
Yes, okay. Mm-hmm.
So I pick up the phone.
Playing the part.
John Hancock. John, this is Ronald. I said, hey, Ronald, how you doing? I'm not good at all. And I said, what's the matter? He said, you did not get me a parking spot. I said, oh, God, I didn't get a parking spot. I had to park a mile and a half away from my spot in the parade. Do you know how hard it is to walk in these yellow shoes? And I'm thinking, oh, man, I'm on the wrong side of Ronald McDonald. I'm going to get fired. This clown's going to get me fired. And so that was horrible. Ronald and I, it was not a good experience. I spent 1 year on that job.
Oh,
it's the only year of my life that I've worked for somebody other than myself.
Can you believe, I mean, Ronald McDonald, that time is gone too. You don't really see anyone that has the hair.
Oh, no, he's still around.
Really?
Yeah, and it may be the same guy from 30 years ago. I mean, that's a good gig. When you get to be Ronald.
Heck yeah.
You're Ronald. So we sent him out once to promote the McGrilled Chicken. We were rolling out the McGrilled Chicken sandwich, and so
that
we sent him on a radio tour, which, you know, how stupid is that to send a clown on a radio because nobody can see him. Anyway, so he was on, we had him on all the stations, and we had him on Magic 105. So the morning host on Magic 105 at the time was a guy named Don Clark, who had been a local television news anchor in town. And so I get this another call, John Hancock, and it was Don Clark. He says, "Oh, Mr. Hancock, this is Don Clark." I said, "Oh, from Magic 105. That's right."
Yeah.
I said, "Well, thanks so much. You had Ronald on today. Really appreciate it." He said, "Ronald McDonald hit my car." I was like, "What?" "Ronald McDonald ran into my car when he was leaving the parking lot."
Oh, God.
And I said, now Mr. Clark, first of all, Ronald is not allowed to drive the. Ronald's got a van. It's the Ronald van. It's all painted. It's very fancy because he can change in there. And,
yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So,
kind of like a dressing room.
Yeah, right. It's very nice. Costs a lot of money. So I said, "Mr. Clark, Ronald's not allowed to drive the van when he's in costume." He said, "I saw his yellow gloves on the steering wheel.
It was him. It was him.
He took out my side view mirror on my car." And I said, so I called Ronald. I said, "Hey, Ronald, did you hit a car over at Magic?" Silence. "Ronald?" "No." I said, "Are you sure you didn't hit a car?" "And no." I said, "Ronald, were you driving the van in costume today?" Silence. "No."
Oh, my gosh.
So I caught him yellow-handed. And so, yeah. So at least I didn't get fired for no parking spot because Ronald screwed up and ran into Don Clark's car, which we paid for to repair very quietly. Didn't mm-hmm. submit it to insurance. Mm-hmm. We took care of the problem.
Discreet.
And very discreet. That's how I roll, Katie.
That was the worst. I can't. But Six Flags. Gosh.
Great
what
job.
What a cool thing to be at.
It was a great job. My piano is still out there. They
really?
Told me. Yeah. All these years later.
What was one of your favorite days, quickly?
The day that Ozzie Smith and his son stood there and listened to me play for like 20 minutes.
Oh,
that
can't
and
beat
it was
that.
Just the three of us in the train station at
can't
the time.
Can't beat it.
It was the great. That was pretty cool. Well, let me just say to all of you and to you, Katie, I have thoroughly enjoyed day number one in this little experiment.
Been great. It's been great.
Annie, I'm nervous filling in for Annie Fry. She does such a great job. Mm-hmm. She's such a pro, and I am so happy for her and baby Molly. They got their pictures today. I'm sure those will get posted in due course. We'll be back here tomorrow for three more rocking hours. Stick around. Mark Reardon is going to occupy this space. He is a dandy. It's John Hancock sitting in for Annie Fry, Katie Fitzpatrick, Ryan Slugger Wiggins is going to be back tomorrow. We'll see you then right here on 97.1 FM Talk, the Annie Fry Show.
Get more at 97.1talk.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.